Hey now, so get this. It's a short week. You got to get in right now. What's cracking? Welcome to the program. It is a very short week. It's a holiday week. My name is Jim Rome. I'm here today. I'm here tomorrow. And then I'm off Thursday and Friday, so I would love to hear from you right now. Step it up. Let's get it. Program brought to you by Rocket Mortgage. We are coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Whether you want to buy a home or refinance your current home, then Rocket can. All right, so in terms of the telephone number, 1-800-636-8686, same as it ever was. Still toll-free, still good in the U.S., still good in Canada, and still right there for you to use. And I think I've proven in the past, I will bust open the format for the right phone call. If somebody can set this thing up, make it better, set it off, I will go right to it. I will break the format open, even come off my opening take, 1-800-636-8686. Other than that, you know to hit me up on social media at Jim Rome, and the email address is Rome, R-O-M-E, at haveatake.com. The interview is set up like this. We are going back to back. In the middle of hour number one to the top of hour number two, Malik Cunningham is a quarterback at Louisville. We'll have him at 9:40. Malcolm Smith is a linebacker for the Browns. We'll have him at 10 o'clock Pacific time. Ben Golliver coming up in hour number three. So those are the three interviews. It is a Tuesday. We are wide open in the middle. I'm here for the next 2 days. Don't wait for me. You know where I'm going to start. It's Tuesday, so I'm going to start with a Monday night recap. But if there's something you want to jump right to, go ahead and do it. You know where to find me. The entire crew is intact. Reading from my left to my right, there's Alvy. There's Chalk. And there's the bitter old man in the back. And an empty seat next to him. What's up, Mr. President? Ike. Somewhere there's the big head. D-Dub's doing his thing. Bookers are doing their things. I am doing my thing. You know what my thing is? My thing is to ask you a question that I've already asked you so many times. And yet I need to ask it again, especially after last night. Why the hell are the New York Giants in prime time again? How many times do I have to ask this question? Why do I have to? Why do they keep doing that? Why do they keep putting them on TV? As always, I'm fine if the Giants want to suck. If they want to embarrass a once proud organization on a weekly basis, that is their prerogative. But do it on your own time and do it far away from me. But when you do this in my living room, then we've got a problem, a national problem. Primetime games are supposed to be special. They're supposed to be fun. They're supposed to be competitive. They're not supposed to be a punishment or a kick in the package. Why are you punishing me? What are you punishing me for? I didn't do anything wrong. What did I do to deserve this? What did I do to have to endure another serving of the New York Giants on my TV? The hell am I being subjected to this clown show for on the regular? Why do you keep putting these people on? Are you thinking that they're going to improve? They're not. If anything, they're getting worse. All of them. All of it. Much worse. It's the exact same thing every single time. The Giants go out, they get on TV, and then they puke all over themselves. Daniel Jones looks bewildered by basic concepts. They lose, and then Joe Judge rolls in, talking all tough in his postgame about fixing it and talking ownership and discipline. It's like the worst movie ever. It's like the NFL version of Ishtar. No, even worse, it's like the NFL version of, I don't know, Space Jam 2. And we're forced to watch it over and over and over again. How many times are you going to make me watch this bad movie?
Over and over and over and over and over.
And that's exactly what happened last night. Remember when Bruce Arians said last week that we had a, quote, very dumb football team? Yeah, well, while the Bucs weren't perfect last night, in fact, they were far from it, they were better than the Giants. And if the Bucks were a very dumb team last week, then the Giants were deeply stupid last night. See, here's the thing about Tampa Bay. Here's the thing about the Bucks coming out of last night. I'm not even sure how good they are or aren't. I'm not even sure if they are good or not, because the Giants are just that bad. They lost 30-10, and they were lucky that that's all that was. If the Bucks actually executed and did not hand them a TD, that's a 45-3 game and probably worse, because that's who the Giants are. Complete garbage.
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 But of course, this is not the way Joe Judge sees it. Old Joseph has everything under control.
You know, we have to do everything better. We didn't do anything really well enough to win the game tonight. Can't make mistakes with turnovers, penalties, and mental errors. We've got to make sure we put our players in a better position through coaching. We've got to make sure we have the opportunity to make plays.
I mean, is there anything more tired than that? How many times have we heard that speech? Every time. Every Sunday. It's the same exact speech. Yeah, I don't know. I really thought that the fight in training camp and making guys run laps and gassers was going to fix this entire thing. I really thought that all of that was going to make Daniel Jones the next Y.A. Tittle and Joe Judge the next Bill Parcells. I thought going ultimate meathead and lecturing everybody and talking down to everybody was going to make them a Super Bowl team. Shock of all shocks. They're 3-7 and they're horrible to look at. It's the same crap every single time they're on TV. Dumb mistakes, bad execution, no discipline, and a quarterback who goes brain dead on a regular basis. And there's always some excuse. There's always some excuse. Last night, though, they had no excuse. They had Daniel Jones. They had Andrew Thomas. They had Saquon Barkley. They had their three first-round picks. They had it all. They had everything they were supposed to have, and it still sucked. All those first-round picks, all those free agent signings on offense, and they managed exactly one TD, and it was on a 5-yard drive. Saquon Barkley had 25 rushing yards against a Bucs defense that was missing Vita Vea. He had 31 receiving yards. He's gone over 100 total yards once in 6 games this year. Kenny Golladay, their big offseason signing, was there, and he did nothing. I'm not going to say that Kenny Golladay signing was a bad signing, but when your left tackle has more TDs than your big free agent wide receiver, then that's a problem. Man, and don't fall for this junk from the postgame that it's all on Jason Garrett. I know that Joe Judge was only too happy to run Garrett in front of that oncoming bus because it protects him. It makes him seem tough. This is not all on Garrett. Far be it for me to come in here and have to defend the clapper.
The clapper.
Right? I mean, that's the last thing I want to do. But this is not on the clapper. This is on the head coach. This is on the front office. This is on ownership. Jason Garrett is not the one out there drafting Daniel Jones. Jason Garrett is not the guy who threw this INT.
Here's Daniel Jones. Just threw it right to the Buccaneers. Steve McClendon, the 12th year player. That's his first interception of his career.
Man, that is so embarrassing. Jason Garrett did not do that. Daniel Jones did that. And I'm still not sure why he did that. Steve McClendon is in his 12th NFL season and did not have an INT until he saw Daniel Jones. And Jones split his numbers with that ball. McClendon has played 160 games. Not only has he not had an interception before last night, he had a total of 3 passes defensed. What I'm saying is, this guy did not have an interception and never even came close to it until Daniel Jones. Firing Jason Garrett is not going to make Daniel Jones better. And it's not going to make Joe Judge better. And it's not going to make Dave Gettleman better. Firing Jason Garrett is like changing the curtains on the Titanic. Think of the worst quarterback in the NFL. Think of the guy who has turnovers at an ungodly rate. Now think of Daniel Jones, because he is that guy. He leads the league in turnovers since he started playing, and he's got 10 wins in his last 35 starts. Remember when Baker Mayfield, and yes, I understand that Baker, he's got plenty of his own issues right about now, but remember when Baker Mayfield told GQ, quote, "I cannot believe the Giants took Daniel Jones." It blows my mind. Some people overthink it. That's where people go wrong. They forget you've got to win. End of quote. And remember how much heat Baker took for that. Yeah, well, if you're one of those guys giving him that heat, you owe him an apology. Yeah, Baker, on the other hand, better start winning some games too. However, he's not wrong about Daniel Jones. Hear me out on this. Maybe taking Daniel Jones as high as they did was actually a terrible idea. Maybe crowning him as the savior after one single start was truly moronic. Just like maybe racing to hire Joe Judge before Mississippi State could get him was legitimately moronic too. This is the same guy who put up a basketball hoop outside the team facility and wait for the explanation from this rocket scientist as to why he did it. Quote, the reason I put it out there is it's getting colder. And you start talking about the skill players. You're trying to teach them to use fine motor skills through cold weather. So you take the gloves off and you put them out there when you have breaks during the day, during lunch, in between meetings. You tell them to go out there. It's really about more dribbling the basketball. If you tell them to just bounce the ball over and over and over, it gets boring. You throw a hoop in front of it. They're going to dribble the ball. They're going to train their hands, increase their fine motor skills, and shoot it. On a day like today, it's nice and brisk. When it really benefits them is in a few weeks when it gets cold and they get out there and they play and they chop it up about 5 minutes at a time. It's something I've used before for players when it gets cold. You start to get them using their hands in the cold weather to get used to the feeling. End of quote. Oh, dang. Check out Vince Lombardi. Check out Bill Parcells. WTF, I mean, like, is there anybody who buys this guy's crap at all anymore? Does anybody really think the problem with that team is the lack of, quote, fine motor skills of the skill players in cold weather, and that having them play basketball at lunch is going to fix that? Has anyone been thinking, man, if the G-men just played a little more basketball in the cold when they had 5 minutes at a time, they'd be better at football? But this dude continues to walk around like he's the baddest, smartest, toughest dude in the room. And his team is not smart, nor tough, nor disciplined. Firing Jason Garrett is not going to fix that. Just hit Control, Alt, Delete on the entire organization. Put everything and everybody involved in a cardboard box, leave it on the curb, and then hang a sign around it that reads, if you can haul it, you can have it. Because the only way to improve this is to set that whole damn thing on fire. And the last bleeping thing that I need, and for the last bleeping time, keep this clown show off my TV and out of my living room so I don't need to start another Tuesday with this same take again on this show. You're taking years off my life. And yes, I'm taking this personally. Stop putting that ass on my TV. I can't watch it anymore. I can't. I can't go over this again. They were even worse than expected last night. 1-800-636-8686. I mean, how long before I roll back in to the NFL Today on CBS and have to do yet another take on the state of football in New York? I've already done that, too. Come on, man. Do better. And by better, I mean blow that whole bleeping thing up. Again, Tampa. Yeah, I'd love to say that your season is going to turn on that game, that you recaptured your swag, your mojo, your juju, whatever you want to call it. But I don't know if that's true. Well, I mean, what did you really do last night? You beat down that clown show again. I don't know how good you are. So, if you want to pick up on that and go from there, you go right ahead. 1-800-636-8686. Other football news about the Patriots. I've been talking them up a lot lately. Understandably so. Finally, somebody found something to talk to Bill Belichick about that he wanted to talk about. And you know it's got nothing to do with football because he'll never give us anything there. But we found something else that the hood has got a passion for. And apparently it's potatoes. Spuds. He's all about that potato life. In addition to that, Herb is going Herb again. If this guy's lips are moving, he's either lying or saying something really dumb, or both. How rich was it that at a Chicago Bulls game, a fire Nagy quote or cheer broke out? It's always one of my favorite things. Mostly it's a Philly thing, but nice to see Chicago picking up on that. Man, how bad do you have to be? It's one thing for folks to come to your job and boo you at your job. But when folks start going to other people's jobs to boo you at their job, that's when you know it's bad. Look who went viral again. Kyle Kuzma. Kuz. Living his best life. Man, how good do you feel about you if you can show up to the arena wearing that gigantic pink sweater? And when the entire world goes in on you for it, your response is something to the effect of, what? What? What you looking at? What are you looking at? I love this guy. Like, everybody is killing this guy for his gigantic pink sweater. And he couldn't care less. And I couldn't respect it anymore. Oh, looky here. Look who showed up in the Kentucky Derby futures. Straight up G. Not that that means anything at all, but that's kind of fun. That's kind of fun. Like, if you got down right now, this is the way this sets up. This week is generally the week, or right around this week, where the first Kentucky Derby futures show up, meaning you can bet on, you can get a future bet down on a Kentucky Derby runner. Never mind that the race is not until May. Never mind that only 20 horses get in. You can actually bet certain horses. I saw a list yesterday of 171 horses that are part of the Kentucky Derby futures, and one of them is none other than Straight Up G. I'm gonna be really clear about this. He ain't running the Derby. He's not that kind of animal. He's not that kind of quality. However, it's fun to see him show up. And if they will take my action, I will get down. I will hit that. No chance of making any money on it, but it's fun. It's fun. All right, so I've got all that. I've got Malik Cunningham coming up at 9:40. Malcolm Smith, top of the hour. Ben Golliver coming up in hour number three. It's a short week. You want to get up in here. It is Thanksgiving week, and DraftKings, the official daily fantasy partner of the NFL, has your shot to gobble up some winnings. New customers can play for free for millions with their first deposit, and nothing goes better with your turkey, your stuffing, and your pie than feasting on big cash prizes from DraftKings. So you don't want to sleep on the offer. Playing daily fantasy football is simple. You pick your lineup of NFL stars, you stay under the salary cap, and you score enough points to bring home some cash. And with a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes, you have lots of reasons to be thankful this year. DraftKings is safe, secure, and reliable. And best of all, you can deposit and withdraw your cash whenever you want. So download the DraftKings app right now. Use the code ROME and play for free. For millions this Thanksgiving weekend, codename Rome, get a free shot at millions in total prizes with that first deposit only at DraftKings, the official daily fantasy partner of the NFL. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions do apply. See DraftKings.com for details.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Welcome back. So I've got backpack interviews starting next segment, so you should call me right now if you want in. Quick message. The holidays are right around the corner, and finding the perfect gift is tricky. I am really eager to tell you about the perfect gift. I have it. I know what it is. Omaha Steaks. I have been an enormous fan for so long. Omaha Steaks makes it easy to send friends and family the very best steaks of their entire life. It's an unforgettable gift, guaranteed to be loved and shared. What you want to do is go to omahasteaks.com, enter Rome in the search bar to order the perfect gift package. Check this out. For $99.99, you'll get 24 entrees, 24, like the world-famous bacon-wrapped filet mignons, chicken breasts, sides, desserts, and so much more. And as the grill master in my own home, I can tell you, these fillets cook to perfection. Omaha Steaks is fully stocked. They are ready to ship. Achieve gifting greatness. Order the perfect gift package right now at omahasteaks.com with 8 free burgers when you enter Rome in the search bar. Perfectly aged, tender, and 100% guaranteed, and an amazing gift. That's omahasteaks.com. Use the search word Rome, R-O-M-E. Search word Rome. Get it. It is such a good gift. Malik Cunningham is coming up next segment. Really quickly, some reaction off the top. Romy, what are we doing here? What are we doing?
What am I doing here?
What are we doing?
What are we doing here?
Signed the Giants in prime time. War of the Giants advancing to first on the downgrade list.
Like, what am I here for?
You know what? If they, like, just inadvertently showed up, I get that. I also understand how big that market is. I also understand how important it is to the league for that team to be good. But they're not. They're garbage. They're garbage.
Garbage.
And by continuing to put them on and thinking the product will be different is also garbage.
Garbage.
They could not have looked any worse. And again, why am I taking this so personally? Because I had to sit through it. Because it is my job. And there are parts of my job that suck. It's like the best job in the world. I mean, who wouldn't trade places with me? Why do you think I work so hard at this job? Because I know it's the best job in the world and everybody wants it. I get that. But even the best job in the world has aspects of that job that sucks. Or suck. And one of the aspects of my job that does suck is that I have to watch the Giants on TV in prime time. All right, I'll admit it. I don't like that part of the job. And the problem is it keeps happening. Dear Jim, the Monday Night Football game was so exciting. Looking forward to the next time the Giants play in prime time. Signed, people who watch other people play chess. Dan in Tucson. Oh, I don't know, dude. You don't sit off to the side and watch other people play? Dude, awesome move with the bishop. Ho, dude, that opening move of the pawn. When you pushed it forward two squares, that was badass. What's that move they call when you do on the back row when you switch the rook with the queen? Oh, dude, you just got knighted. At H of Spillane. Rome, we really think you need to give Joe Judge more time. The Bill Belichick coaching tree just needs time to flourish. Signed, Charlie Weiss, Romeo Crennel, Brian Flores, and Matt Patricia. Rome, we do not like Monday Night Football trying to compete with all of these compelling football matchups. Signed, Thursday Night Football. We know why Thursday Night Football generally sucks. Because guys have to play on a short week. They don't have enough time to recover. They really don't want to be out there. What's Monday's excuse? The Giants, for one. I mean, seriously, is there anybody anywhere that wants to see that? Why do they keep doing that? Carl and Prescott. The New York Giants being shown on primetime is baffling. Signed, the Magic Hour.
Magic!
Right. Like, who thought that was a good idea? Giving Magic a talk show would be like letting me play point guard for the Lakers. Two really bad ideas that could never work in a million years. I mean, honestly, I think I would stand a better chance doing his job than he did of doing my job. You know, that whole thing about there are no bad questions, there are no bad ideas. Yes, there are. That's one of the worst ideas ever. Hey, Rome, the Giants are on primetime TV more than Leave It to Beaver reruns. Signed, Pete Gillen.
Duke is Duke. They're on TV more than Leave
Somebody
it to
look
Beaver,
this up for
reruns.
Me. Certainly what year Duke. Did Pete Gillen say
TV
that?
More than Leave It to Beaver,
because when Pete Gillen said that, that Certainly qualified as straight fire. Like, that was legitimately Beaver, straight fire when he said that.
Certainly Duke is Duke.
Hey, Pete, what do you make of Duke? Certainly Duke is Duke. They're on TV more than Leave It to Beaver reruns. I mean, like, it was such an amazing line. It really was. I'm not doing this in any way to mock Pete. Pete's awesome. That was a line that was so far ahead of its time, and that did qualify as straight bleeping fire when he said it. Hey, Jim, we are super excited. We just got a Groupon offer by Joe Judge. We're going to be attending a needle-pointing and knitting class in sub-zero temps with no gloves to increase our fine motor skills. Signed, the New York Giants, Jake in NYC. Like, the guy, when he laid that whole thing out, he was acting like he came up with some idea that nobody had ever thought of before. That, like, he's got the special sauce. He's got the magic formula. He knows things that nobody else knows. Such as, I put a basketball net up there, and I'm going to ask my skill guys to go out there when it's cold, without gloves, to develop their fine motor skills. And then that will pay off on Sunday. See you in the Super Bowl. My crack staff looked it up. Way to use Google, fellas. Pete Gillen, 1997. Look who's here. She's tough, man. Don't get on the wrong side of this lady clone. Ed Romy's my homie. Tweets, Jimmers, Barkley is the most overrated tailback since Trent Richardson. Signed, Kajana Carter. Damn, Abby. I mean, Abby, again, I don't want to be a hypocrite. I just said, don't get on the wrong side of this lady clone. You know, he is coming off a pretty significant injury. I'm not saying that he's playing well. He's not. I'm not saying you give him a monster deal. Maybe you don't. Even though the Giants are all about excuses, I mean, he is coming off an injury and trying. Quality guy. But you know what, though, Abby? I appreciate the straight fire and the strong take. Jimmers, Barkley is the most overrated tailback since Trent Richardson signed Kajana Carter. Look at Abby.
War Lady Clones.
All right, see if you can follow me on this. It's cold. It's hard to play football when it's cold. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to get a basketball net. I'm going to put it up outside. I'm going to have my skill guys go out there. And they're going to play basketball. And they're not just going to dribble. They're going to dribble. And they're going to do it without gloves. And then they're going to shoot at the basket. And they're going to do this between meetings. And they're going to do this three times a week. And they're going to develop their fine motor skills. See you in the bleeping Super Bowl. See you on top. Bill Parcells, tell me how my ass tastes. What's my name? That's right, Joe Judge. Hey, Rome Slice, give me back my son. Regards, Jerry Jones, watching Jason Garrett call plays last night. Geoff and Lincoln. I'm telling you, man.
Give me back my son.
Somebody will take the fall, but it better be somebody much higher up the food chain than Jason Garrett. Man, don't make this guy your sacrificial lamb. Look, I'm not ever trying to get anybody fired. You want to fire Garrett? Fine. Fire Garrett. You better make sure he's not the only guy you fire for what's going on in New York. There are so many things wrong with that football team. It better go much higher up than Garrett. Garrett's not the problem. I mean, how bad is it that I've got to sit here and defend the clapper? That's how bad it is.
The clapper.
And finally, at SA Sports Honk. Boss, I keep a hoop outside of my office to sharpen my fine motor skills. Sincerely, Rit. Hashtag, that's an H.
Mark it down. That's an H.
How about Rit during the Carolina game just running his mouth on Twitter, talking all sorts of junk, and then they come from ahead and they lose? That's why you don't do that, Rit. That's why I don't follow you on Twitter. That's why you're a member of my own staff and I don't follow you, dude. You're lucky I don't block your ass, and I've never blocked anybody. Don't do that, man.
Fuck!
Don't do that. Fuck! Just talking all this junk about your team, and then they get beat. That's so Rit. When we come back. It's Rit! Malik Cunningham is the quarterback of Louisville. He joins me next. Then after that, a linebacker for the Browns, Malcolm Smith. Then we are wide open. Phone lines lit up. I like that. Get some phone calls in here, I hope.
It's lit!
Again, just because they're lit does not mean they're good calls. It just means they're calls. Chalk's making that chalk face at me. Yeah, Herman Munster wouldn't take one of these calls. Let's get you here. I love that song.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
All day, too, or at least until noon Pacific, 3 Eastern. I am Jim Rome. I am live, and I'm in Southern California. Good to be with you. Telephone calls coming up later on, but as promised, we are joined right now by quarterback for Louisville. Not just that, but also the ACC quarterback of the week. An enormous game last week in the win over Duke. 527 total yards, 7 touchdowns, second player in FBS history with 300 passing yards and 200 rushing yards in the same game. Passed for nearly 2,600 yards, 18 TDs on the season. Louisville is 6-5, and they've got a big one. They're at home Saturday against Kentucky. Malik Cunningham is my guest. Malik, good to have you on the show, man. How are you?
I'm doing good. How you doing?
Good, good. Listen, really good to have you on. You're coming off one of the best performances in college football history. There's lots to talk about, but when I read those numbers back to you, 527 total yards, 7 TDs, and doing things that the greatest quarterbacks in the history of the sport have never done, what's your reaction? How does it feel to hear all of that?
Well, it's a blessing just to be here. It feels good to hear those numbers. I mean, without supporting cast, O-line and the running backs and the receivers, none of that is possible. So I want to give thanks to those guys.
All right, fair enough. But take me back to last week and your preparation prior to that game. I understand that you were not feeling that well during the week. So what was your preparation like, and did you have any idea you had that kind of a game in you?
I definitely knew I had that type of game in me. And the whole week I was dealing with illness and sickness. And I just knew I had to suck it up for the team and be a warrior and go out there and do my best. And that's what I did.
That's what you did. Malik Cunningham joining us. The thing that really impressed me, too, all 5 of the TD passes were to different players. What's it say about the talent around you that you can spread the ball around like that and have confidence that no matter who you throw it to, it's probably going to be a good result?
That just goes back to the practice and preparation during the week. Those guys make incredible catches throughout the week. And just coach always preaches you practice how you play, and they practice good all week, all those guys, and they helped on Thursday night.
Now, the amazing thing about those numbers is after the game you were saying like you felt like you left some yards and some plays out there on the field. Kind of a wild thing to say when you're coming off one of the best games in the history of the sport. Were you being modest, or did you really see room for improvement? And if so, where?
If you go back to the game, we had a post call and kind of over threw the receiver by like 4 or 5 yards, and that was one touchdown could have had back. But I think we scored on that drive, so I think that made up for it.
All right, so in the second quarter, you had this 44-yard TD run and a 72-yard TD run. As you said after the game, I've been doing that since I was knee-high. I like that. Can you take me through it? The 72-yarder, you broke tackles, you changed speeds, you pretty much did everything. What do you remember about that play?
That play, I remember it was, it was a D lineman, number 55. I think he was probably the closest player, like, to me before I scored that touchdown. And I was just in my head, I just could not let him catch me out of everybody on the field, not let him catch me. And once I seen, I looked back and he had slowed down, and I figured I was going to score that touchdown because he was the closest player.
Louisville quarterback Malik Cunningham joining us. You also broke, or you could have broken, Lamar Jackson's single-game rushing record, but you did not play the final 12 minutes of the game. I understand it's about the win. I understand you don't want to show anybody up, but is there any part of you that wanted to be out there to break even more records?
All that stuff is cool, but, you know, day team player, that would have been an awesome record to break. I wish I could have broke it, but end of the day, it's all about the team win. That's what we got. We got a good win.
All right. Malik Cunningham joining us. Look, I know you don't want to make it about you, but let's talk about the team a little bit. You guys put up 41 on Syracuse, which was a season high. Then you broke that a few days later when you put up 62 at Duke. Does it feel like the offense is starting to click at just the right time?
Yeah, for sure. Considering the games that we lost and we make 1 or 2 plays on the offensive side, it's a different outcome in the game. And just putting together the last 2 weeks, been fun to watch, been fun to do, and we got more work to do in the next two games.
All right, so with that, with the win over Duke, you're now bowl eligible. I know that you've said that beating Mississippi State in the Music City Bowl is one of your favorite college football memories. So how does it feel to know that you're going to be headed back to another bowl game?
It feels good to give those seniors another 60 minutes. Football is probably not promised to a lot of those guys, so it's good to have those older heads around for another couple weeks or so. And we're going to make sure they enjoy it.
I like that, man. You got to take care of those old heads. You have to take care of the old heads. Now, the season got off to a 3-1 start, but then you guys hit that rough stretch in the middle. How were you guys able to turn it around the way you have?
Just the leaders on the team just coming together and just making sure we keep everybody the goal, the main goal, which is to finish the season no matter what happens, and mixed play mentality. And that's what we did. And it's been going good ever since.
Malik Cunningham is joining me for a few more moments. We talked about Lamar. So Lamar had his jersey retired during the Syracuse game. I know the two of you go back quite a ways. What kind of an impact has Lamar had on you, and what have you learned from him over the years?
He's had a big impact since the first time I met him. Very down to earth. You can go to him about anything. And just having a guy like him in your corner, considering what he's doing in the NFL and for the young kids and across the world, it's always great to see. It's good to have him as a role model, and he's doing good.
That's obviously, you've learned a lot from him, and he's a great, great leader. His teammates love him. You're one of the leaders on that team right now, and I know you've put in time in developing relationships with guys. So, like, what's your approach to being a leader, and then how much does it mean to you to be a leader of this group?
It means a lot to have those guys look up to you. A lot of those guys never seen players or been a part of a team where they had to come in and not be that guy. So just showing those young guys the way and coming in every day and just being a better person, it just means a lot to those guys. Just show positivity around them. It takes a long way with them.
Right, and you also have put in a lot of time yourself. Like, you've already had a career year in rushing yardage and TDs, and you're about to put up a career high in passing yardage. So when you look at where you were when you first showed up on campus as a quarterback, how much have you grown since then?
I made great jumps in a leadership role and in as being a quarterback. And it just feels so good to just know that what you come from and how much work you put in. A lot of people don't really get to see that part. They just see the good part. They don't see the bad, where things weren't going my way. Just had to put my head down and just keep working. And now it's finally paying off, which is good.
All right, so I want to elaborate on that point. What we're talking about is the work you put in the offseason, studying film, working on mechanics, staying in the pocket. You've cut down on turnovers this season in a really dramatic way. In fact, it's been a massive improvement. What's been the key in that regard?
Just not forcing the ball down the field like I did a year ago. Just checking the ball down, and when it's running lanes, just using my feet. And that's what I've been doing this year, which has been working for us. So I got to keep it up the next two games.
All right, so a couple of quick thoughts. I've always enjoyed my conversations with your head coach, Scott Satterfield, over the years. What's it been like to play for him?
It's been great. Coach Sat came in 19. And led us to a bowl game, won that bowl game. And last year, we hit a little adversity, and he never gave up. Through all the talks about him leaving after the season and stuff like that, he stayed with us, stayed by our side, and been nothing but good to us. And so we love Coach for that. And we're looking to finish these next two games off strong.
All right, so last thought. I'm on the outside looking in, but I love that matchup. I love that rivalry. I love that matchup. You've got Kentucky Saturday for the Governor's Cup. The game was canceled last year due to COVID, and the Wildcats had won the previous two meetings. For people who do not know, how special is the rivalry, and how badly do you want to win this game on Saturday?
This rivalry, he was way past my time, starting in 1998, and it's been going on for a good little minute. And this means a lot to us and the team and the city, not the state of Kentucky. We're trying to turn into the state of Louisville. So that's what we're going to try our best to finish the game out strong and do what we do best.
I like that. I love that matchup. Kentucky at Louisville, Saturday, 7:30 p.m. Eastern. Malik Cunningham is coming off literally one of the greatest games a quarterback has ever had in that sport. Malik, great to have you on the show. Really good to talk to you. Good luck this weekend. Hope we can do it again soon.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much.
Appreciate you. Thank you so much. Great matchup. Kentucky at Louisville, the Governor's Cup. Who you got there? And I know we've got a lot of listeners in both Lexington and Louisville. He is coming off an amazing game and felt like he left some out there on the field. And again, sat late or could have put up even bigger numbers. 1-800-636-8686. We're going to go back to back. I've got Malcolm Smith coming up on the other side. Hey, Alvin, how much time do I have right here? All right, probably maybe not enough time to do what I want to do. All right, here's what I want to do. Well, what I want to do is go to the phones, but I don't have enough time to go to the phones. However, there is a fairly legendary figure on the phones who would like to kind of get some clarification on something. You know this guy. You love this guy. And this guy wants more. That's the tease. I don't want to give up who this guy is. But I think it's not a stretch to say that he is a legendary figure on this show. And has not called very often, but is now showing up out of nowhere. And he wants something. It reminds me of something that a boss I had once said to me. When I was in Santa Barbara, I had a guy that also a legendary figure. And I wanted to do sports, and he would not let me do sports. And somebody was doing sports who didn't even know sports. And this guy said to me, you know what? When everybody around here starts to do or get to do things they want to do, we're going to have a real problem. I'm like, that makes no sense at all to me at all. However, this guy on hold wants something. My response is, when all you clones start getting things that you want, that's when we have a problem. Except maybe this guy's right. It's a pretty prominent tease for a caller. And no, it's not you, Matt, in LA. I know you're on hold. Malcolm Smith of the Browns joins me when we come back.